Welcome to Motivated to Lead podcast, helping you become a better leader. I'm your host, Mark Klingsheim. Hi, everyone. Thanks again for listening to our podcast this week. My name is Mark Klingsheim with SEMA Partners. Each week, we interview leaders and they share lessons learned from their careers. Our goal is to help you become a better leader. This week, we're happy to have with us John Morrison. John has most recently been the president of the Americas for WAPCO, and he has a career that spanned several decades where he has held leadership roles within companies. He's got some great insights around leadership and people management, and we're looking forward to today's conversation with John. Well, John, I guess, first off, can you give us just a little bit of your story, a little bit of your career history?
Sure, glad to. So I started my career. I got my bachelor's degree from Purdue University in general management and finance. That's been a passion of mine throughout my career. I also got an MBA from Bowling Green State University in Ohio. So again, just trying to sort of top that out and be ready for the world. And then the past 40 years, I've spent the majority of my time leading people, small groups, large organizations, things like that. That's something that I always wanted to pursue. And I've spent the last 30 years about owning a P&L, profit and loss statement. So basically, you know, having the accountability to deliver results, you know, each and every day. And I would say for me, the highlight of my career and all of that is three things. One is I've really been able to develop a lot of great people. And it's been a personal objective of mine to develop my replacement, which I just recently did as I left my last organization, WAPCO Holdings. And being a finance major, I had the opportunity to be part of ringing the bell on Wall Street in 2017 as we celebrated 10 years of being a publicly traded company at WAPCO. And finally, I actually have my name on a patent invention. So these are kind of personal objectives that I had that I'm very proud of over the course of my career. But most importantly, it's been really being able to work with and develop future leaders.
Right. So I asked this question of almost everybody that we have on. We have a lot of up and coming leaders, new leaders that listen to the podcast. But knowing what you know now, looking back over career that you've had a lot of responsibility. What do you wish you would have known back when you were 22, if you could spin back time knowing what you know now?
Sure. Now, and that's a great question. I think because you'll learn a lot during the course of your career. And I think one of the things that I would say is that you have to certainly be open to learning. But I would say that the advice that I would give people if you're 22 and just starting out is try to work for the best leaders you can. I think, you know, it's one thing to have a job. It's one thing to have a career, but, you know, try to work for people who you can learn from. And I've been very fortunate. You know, I've had some good leaders and bad leaders, and I've learned from the bad leaders. But in terms of helping me through my career and to navigate and negotiate, I think I've tried to draw from those experiences. And I would say really capitalize on that, because ultimately I can know certain things, but if I look at what other people have done in their own career and their own success and are able to draw from that, I think that's the thing that I would want to focus on and make sure that I take every opportunity to do that from day one.
Thinking back to kind of that first time where you were joined a company and then you were finally tapped on the shoulder to say, now it's your chance to lead a team. Thinking back to that time, what do you wish you would have done differently? Or what were some things that you learned, lessons that you learned in that first leadership role?
Yeah. Well, I think that, you know, I was a pretty headstrong guy when I was starting out. And so I sort of went in bull in a china shop, and you know, in some cases, I really learned the hard way from the standpoint of making mistakes, which, again, there's nothing wrong with making mistakes. And through that, I really learned a lot. But I would say that, you know, I was excited. I wanted that opportunity. And I think, you know, more importantly, I learned to learn from the people I led and supervised. I think that was the one thing that, you know, I could bring a certain amount of energy and a certain amount of enthusiasm, but I didn't have the knowledge that I needed. And so I think from that standpoint, that was something that I learned in some cases the hard way, but really took that forward and tried to share that with other people throughout my career.
So I know part of what you have strived to do as far as leading teams is helping develop leadership within your organization, and you've led teams where you've had significant growth over time. But talk a little bit about that. What's kind of your philosophy around raising up other leaders within the organization?
Sure. So for me, I think there's two parts to that answer. One is that I think that as a leader and you're developing an organization, particularly an evolving organization, you have to be willing to change, and meaning that you have to be willing to change people. Because in some cases, unfortunately, you get to certain stages where a leader might have been in place and might have been quite adequate at one point in time, but the organization either outgrows them or changes to a point where they cannot really adapt to that. And that's an honest conversation with that person saying, hey, look, you know, I think we're just not going to be able to move forward. And you have to be able to do that, because ultimately, as a leader, you really are only as good as the people who are supporting you and you're working with. But on the other hand, you know, you owe it to them to help get them to a certain point. And if you can't, you have to be willing to make that change. And I think that's one of the more challenging things for leaders to be able to do. The other part is something I call the deal. And, you know, for me, the deal was always, hey, I'll work for you. I'll work really hard for you to help you get where you want to go and do the things you want to accomplish if you will help me with the organization and help us get to where we need to go. And that's a mutual effort on our part each and every day. And so this was the deal. And oftentimes it's a good exchange, because ultimately it puts the accountability in the right place in both of our hands to be able to make it happen. And again, I think in some cases it helps to avoid that situation where somebody, the organization, really outgrows that person as a leader.
We've lived through some interesting times in the last 10 months. Any lessons that you've learned leading during the last 10 months or so?
Wow. Yeah. I mean, I think that, you know, you don't know what you don't know. And I think anticipation is really an important part of running a business and leading and just working within an organization, and something that we focused on within the WAPCO world quite a bit. And I think that one of the things I'm quite proud of is that even though we had no idea how the pandemic was going to evolve and how it was going to affect the business, we really just tried to anticipate as much as we possibly could and put things in place as soon as possible, even before they may have been necessary, because you can always take it away, but it's really hard sometimes to put it in. And so if you put it in, you get past that, and then you can relieve the pressure on the organization, then that's a good thing. And that, I think people appreciate that. And the feedback we received, people did appreciate that, even though what we had to do right up front before the thing was fully vetted was very difficult and hard for people. I think they appreciated the fact that we were on top of it. And so I would say that's really the one thing that was elevated, was the importance of anticipation and really the courage to make decisions, even though you don't have all the information, but you can collectively see that if you're not prepared, it could be, you know, not so good in the outcome. And so I think that's really the one thing that I was, it was really elevated in my awareness, was just to the importance of anticipation.
So leading virtually, we talked a little bit about just having team meetings. You mentioned you had town hall meetings that you were leading during the last 10 months, where you'd have several hundred people on the phone, and all that happens as a part of being in a home environment, having dogs barking and things, interruptions. Right. But anything that you would that's worked well as far as during this time, as far as leading virtually, that you think would be helpful?
Sure. Well, you know, I have to admit, I'm not a huge fan of virtual leading. I like being with people, and I like being with my team. And so, you know, that was something that for me personally was a little bit of a struggle. But on the other hand, I think, you know, it just heightened the importance of being prepared and clear on the messaging that we want to have, because we have a certain amount of time that we have to deliver things, and it's basically at a distance. And so what we did was a couple things. One is we would always survey after a town hall or a communication to make sure we were providing people with the information that they were really looking for. And I think that helped us each and every time, you know, continuously improve. And that's something that we strive for. And I think the feedback that we received validated that. But also being clear in the messaging and, you know, being able to deliver and being honest about where we are. And I think that, you know, virtually, I think it's sometimes when you're in person, you can see honesty better, I think. Right. And so, you know, we tried really hard just to make sure that there's a genuineness and an honesty that's coming across, you know, virtually, so that, you know, it's not something that's manufactured and you're there and present and you're in it. And I think that's helpful for people. And basically the feedback we got was very good. I mean, people really appreciated it. Again, we've had 95-96% attendance at these events because people were hungry to connect. And, you know, this was something that I think is very important during this time, is that people really still remain very hungry to connect.
So is there any experience that you wish you would have had sooner in your career? And it sounds like you've kind of hit on a lot of areas. You've been involved in a lot of functional areas and gotten experience. Anything that you wish, looking back on, that you would have gotten more experience quicker?
I think, you know, the front end of the business and being out there with customers, with media, with investors, things like that, I think as I got into it, I really enjoyed it. And so it was one of those things, it's like, gee whiz, I wish I could have done this a long time ago, because it was something that I found very personally challenging. For me, I wasn't, when I graduated from college, I wasn't very confident as a public speaker, and I just preferred to be more in a one-on-one forum. And so that challenge really helped me grow. And I think that's the one thing that if I could have done it in my 30s versus my, you know, 40s or 50s, that would have been something I think would have been, you know, really something to add. But I have to admit to you, I really am pretty fortunate in terms of the opportunities that I've had, and really feel pretty good about, you know, how things have progressed, both good and bad, you know, in my career.
So I have to ask you, what was the patent that you have, and what area?
Right. Well, it's not an officially approved patent yet. We filed, but basically we have developed a innovative way to connect a truck and trailer, to communicate between a truck and trailer. And this is something that is a foundational element for autonomous vehicles as you go forward. So I was very lucky to be able to work with a lot of the autonomous and electrification companies, the new technology that's coming. And this was an idea that we had in terms of how to improve the ability for a truck and trailer to communicate through a company's fleet management system, which I think will make their life a lot easier. And the good part is it's backward compatible. So all the, you know, there's 3 million trailers out there, and you could hook it up, you know, to all those old trailers as well. So it's something that I fought for, and we got together and collaborated and developed a solution, and we're unveiling it to the industry as we speak. And again, it's the creativity part that's also very exciting. If you can have an opportunity to create and to contribute in that way. And I think it's going to be quite successful. So whether the patent gets approved or not,
sure.
I think it's going to be quite successful. So I'm pretty happy with that.
Yeah. So this is kind of off topic, but how soon do you think our vehicles will all be changed over to electric?
Well, you know, you just heard yesterday General Motors was targeting 2040, and I think that's reasonable. You know, the technology is there, and actually electric vehicles are much simpler to assemble than current combustion engine vehicles. I do think, though, that there'll be a time where certainly the cost benefit will improve to the point. So I think 2040, 2050 is probably a reasonable estimate of when a lot of vehicles. I don't think everything goes that way, because quite frankly, the combustion engine is very efficient. And even in Europe, there's some discussion in terms of the difference between electrified and combustion engine vehicles in terms of cost and emissions and all that kind of stuff. So it's a great story from a technology point of view. It's a great story from a social contribution. And I think we'll see a significant increase in the amount of electrified vehicles. And I think 2040, 2050 is probably a good time frame given the technology where it is today.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how things are progressing, and it seems like it's changing fairly quickly. Yeah. So, books that you would recommend that you've read that you would recommend other leaders?
Yeah, I thought about that, and I think that I think the first one I would mention is Eli Goldratt is the author, and he wrote a book called The Goal. And The Goal, it was published in 1984. And really for me, it was a foundational book in the sense that it was about continuous improvement and removing bottlenecks. And at the time I was in manufacturing, But I think it through my career, it had a lot of life contribution from the standpoint of really removing obstacles, right? I think to open up your capacity, to open up your team's capacity, removing obstacles, you know, is really a great approach. And it's a fun book to read because basically it's a story, even though you're getting management principles behind it, which I really enjoyed that. And I continue to go back to that book. The second one, and these are some traditional ones. The second one is Stephen Covey's The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. I think what was really interesting about that is that it incorporated process things that you can do, as well as things that really involve how you work with people and how you care about people and how you bring that contribution into your leadership habits and your leadership capabilities. And that's something also that I've tried to incorporate throughout my career, and been fortunate that people have, you know, come up to me and they said, "Hey, you know, you do that." And it's because it wasn't because of me personally. It was because I read that and I thought about it, and I tried to do the things that he mentioned, because I thought that they really had a lot of practical value. And then the last one I would say is Mr. Bruce Tulgan, who you've interviewed, wrote a book that's called It's Okay to Be the Boss. And it's how I started my relationship with Bruce. But, you know, really, it was a very practical way to supervise people. And I think that me being a management student and managing a lot of people over the years, I think his approach was really interesting for me in the sense that it validated that the importance of the one-on-one conversation, the importance of that follow-up each and every day, in fact, and not just letting people kind of drift out there, but really having an exchange on a regular basis is something that I really believed in. And this book appeared and I read it and I was like, boy, that's a really great book. And learned a lot from it still, and learned a lot from Bruce. So, you know, those are the three that I thought of in terms of what have really made kind of the biggest impact on me, particularly for my working life.
Great. So outside of work, what do you do to recharge?
Well, you know, friendships are very important to myself and my wife and family. And over the years, we have really developed a very extensive network of friends that, you know, we have dinners and our, you know, kids get together you know, that sort of thing. And I think that's so valuable because, you know, your life has to have that balance, right? And I would say that as I grew up, that wasn't so prevalent in my family. But as we've evolved and my wife and I have evolved, we've developed a really extensive network of friends that, you know, we can just be comfortable with and sit down and or go on vacation and things like that. And that's a really high value for us, and enjoy it. And through that, then you do all the things that you would normally talk about, like golf and boating and all this kind of stuff. So for me, that's really where we spend our time, is that we like to have friends over. We like to visit with friends and do things. And those friendships over the course of 10, 20, 30 years have become, you know, quite important for us in the later stage. But I have to admit too, I am a Porsche fanatic. And so that's somewhere else where I spend my time. I have to admit that.
Okay, great. Well, outside of, the things that you've learned, what parting advice would you give a new and up and coming leaders that you think would be helpful?
Sure. I would say first and foremost, be prepared to listen, to learn, to change, to grow, be open to adapting as you go forward. I think that's one thing that, you know, as you go through your career, you find times where you may have to step back, or you may have to go seek a different path. And I think that's something that you really need to be able to be open to. And through the course of my career, I went sideways 2 times and it actually helped me a lot. And it wasn't go, go, go all the time. Mm-hmm. Hard to do, but it ended up being, you know, really beneficial for me. Personally, and I would recommend that you be open to things that help you grow, that make you more valuable and more differentiated. I think differentiation, you know, is extremely important. You have to remember you are your own brand, and so from that standpoint, you have to continue to enhance that brand. The last thing I would say, Mark, is that you know, just find a mentor, particularly as you get farther in your leadership life. It's important to have somebody who will tell you the truth. And oftentimes I say, you know, the people that work for you generally aren't going to tell you the real truth. Some might, but it's rare, I would say. But go find someone or a couple of people who you can talk to and bounce things off of, and they'll really give you sort of their honest view of what you're thinking and what you're thinking about and what you're going to do. And I think that becomes really important because you might be very, very convicted, but at the end of the day, if you get that different perspective, I think that helps round it out, and I would highly recommend that as well.
Thank you for listening to the Motivated to Lead podcast. Please subscribe on iTunes. You can also see a video version of this interview at motivatedtolead.com. This podcast is brought to you by SEMA Partners, helping you find your next great leader.